Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, 2 hours down. One more to play with on a Friday. Heading into the weekend. New York City, baby. Ty Butler in for Alan Han. Got Bart Scott here, 800-919-3776. It is the final hour of the program. So what does that mean, Mr. Scott?
It's the Michael Jordan. Power, hour, 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 hour. I don't even like Jordan like that. You're making me defend him.
So, just to bring you behind the curtains, I did such a terrible job with the gong yesterday. Dinahan came into the studio, grabbed him, and said, "Yo, I got this."
Yeah, man. You good, bro? You're not even allowed to touch it no more, man. First of all, where did you hit it?
Like, do what happened when you take all that creatine?
I think.
That's what I'm saying. Did you go to Retro Fitness today, man?
Did you
get some of that aggression out?
I was there at 5:30 a.m. I think the problem was I was not executing it correctly. Like, I went into it thinking I had to bang it hard, but it's a slight bang. Sometimes all you need is a slight bang.
See, that's the problem, man. You can't just go roughhouse there. Sometimes you got to finesse it.
Sometimes you just got to go in there, you know, massage it a little bit and go with the little soft bang, not the hard bang.
Nah, man, you went all in.
I went hard bang.
You only had one shot. You look like one of them lions out in the wild.
And it was the backhanded bang, too. The backhanded bang, and I'm sitting there banging it, and it was not the sound that we wanted to have happen. So Dinahan assumed responsibilities.
Thank Ray. Thank you, Ray.
Here he is. So shout out to Ray Dinahan.
Knocked the gong off the stand. How the hell you do that?
I had to just take it away from him. I just grabbed the gong and got out of there.
Got out of there unscathed. But he's here today. He's here. 800-919-3776. I should remind everyone that Anita Marks will be live. That's right, live from the park at UBS Arena tomorrow, February 24th, starting at noon before the Islanders matinee matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Ray, are you an Islanders fan?
Oh, I am.
So you're disgusted right now with your team?
Oh, I think it was a very strong minute of giving up 3 goals last night.
Yeah. Tough one. Rangers, by the way, destroyed the Devils. What was that, 9 straight?
They always beat the Devils.
9 straight for the Rangers?
9 straight for the Rangers.
Shout out Don, man. Keeping it. He started the streak. He's keeping it alive, and he'll be back on the call tomorrow. Join the New York Islanders for every thrilling matchup in March. Take advantage of special ticket pricing for upcoming home games at UBS Arena and be there for all the exciting action on the ice. Get your tickets today at NewYorkIslanders.com/March. 800-919-3776. Before we get back to the phone calls, I want to bring this up because earlier in the show we mentioned that the NFL released its salary cap for the 2024 season. And it's higher than we thought it was going to be. They had projected it to be somewhere between 243 and 245. It's going to hit 255 for next season. So the question becomes, like, is this going to be something that, you know, teams take advantage of? And the answer obviously is yes, but we're more focused on our locals here. The Jets in the market for offensive linemen, some receivers. But, you know, producer of the K-Show, Anthony Pusick, threw this by me because he's a Giant fan. And you could get your thoughts on this, Bart. Does this change anything for Saquon Barkley? Because if there's a higher salary cap, in theory, there's more money you can allocate to Saquon. So does this change maybe the negotiations between the Giants and Saquon Barkley?
Nope. Because they could have created the space anyway. You know, they got a lot of salary cap relief coming up this year when you think about Leonard Williams and all that stuff. Like, being off the books? Nah, man. Listen, if they wanted you, they would find a way to keep you. It's not because they got a couple extra dollars don't mean nothing. What that does is, like I said before, with Houston, it gives Houston even more money. Houston was already $62 million under the cap. You put him somewhere, and Saquon should go somewhere where he wants to be in the playoffs and have a legitimate chance to win a championship.
Yeah, but he loves the Giants. Like,
no,
this is
does
where
he love the Giants
be.
Or does he love living in New York and everything that New York brings to you? But guess what? New York don't bring it to you as much if you don't win a title. If he goes there, he'll always be a New York Giant. But if he goes there and win a championship, then he'll be a champion as well. And he'll be on another stage. He'll be big in 2 markets, not just 1.
I mean, imagine C.J. Stroud. With Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Saquon coming out the backfield.
But this is crazy thing. They got $60 million. They got $62 million.
Well, because they can take advantage of him being on a rookie contract.
Who's to say they can't go get Calvin Ridley Like, who's, like, what are we talking about? Who's to say that they got to stop and keep what they have? They got what they got. Who's to say they can't go out there and get the number one tight end in the free agency? Like, who's to say they can't continue to add?
I would love for them to keep Schultz, because Schultz was a huge weapon for them last year.
Well, what if you make the trade for Kyle Pitts?
I don't think Atlanta's trading him.
He was in trade talks last year.
Yeah.
What if you wait for Hockenson to come back and you get a guy like Hockenson, you just put him on a shelf to week 10? What about that?
I think I shouldn't say I don't think they're going to trade him, because Kyle Pitts and the Falcons.
Okay,
should trade him.
Okay, well,
I think that would be dumb.
What about Hockenson and what he was doing in Minnesota before he tore his ACL?
Yeah, before he got hurt. Him and
who's to say that they can't get him on a 1 year and activate him in week 10, and then you got Hockenson, who's a beast, pass catching tight end. Like, they can go out and do a lot of stuff, man, because they don't have to pay their
quarterback
for 4 years.
But do you want two guys coming back from season-ending injuries?
Who else coming back from season injuries?
Well, Tank Dell.
Oh, yeah, I got you. But Tank Dell, we're going to slow you down, baby, because we're going to go get Calvin Ridley. Take your time.
That's fun, man.
They can go get Tyler Boyd, Tank Dell. They can go get Hollywood Brown. Like, he going to be cheaper, right? It's options out there. If Pittman is available – if he doesn't get franchise,
he's gonna get tagged. You have to imagine he'll get tagged.
Who's to say they won't say, all right, well, we're gonna go get Brandon Ayuk because we from the 49ers, so we're gonna pay Brandon Ayuk.
I was gonna throw this at you because I saw this come across from one of the many little sites I have populating notifications on my phone. Mm-hmm. Would the Jets at all be interested in Brandon Ayuk?
Of course they would, but that's like I said before, you don't want to pay $20-something million when you know you have to pay Sauce, Jermaine Johnson, and Garrett.
But here's the problem, and we talked about this yesterday. Joe Douglas, to some extent, can't really think about the future because this is do or die.
But
he's got to be all in on this season, then you figure out the rest later.
But he needs to allocate his money.
But you're not paying Jermaine Johnson this year. You're not paying Sauce and Garrett this year.
Right.
You're focused on this season.
Yeah, so let's dump that into our version of Alan Faneca and Damon Woody. Let's go get two starters and pay them big money. And then draft one. Let's go do that.
I'm just saying because you also need a weapon on the opposite Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, but you still can do that. But I want somebody that's going to be a three-year deal. I want a guy like I'll go see if DeAndre Hopkins is available.
I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah, I'm good. As like the big splash move, maybe in addition to something else I'm doing.
DeAndre Hopkins? What's wrong with DeAndre Hopkins?
There's nothing wrong with him if he's in addition to another receiver. Like if you're telling me I get T. Higgins and DeAndre.
DeAndre Hopkins was him before Devontae Adams was a dude.
Yeah, I understand. I know who DeAndre Hopkins is. I'm saying I just think that I need someone younger than DeAndre Hopkins.
See,
who's past his prime. DeAndre's not in his prime anymore. Is he still really good? Of course.
He's the same age damn near as Devontae Adams.
Yeah, but he's had injuries. He's aged differently than Devontae. Devontae's been able to stay relatively.
Did he have
relatively...
injuries or did he have a steroid suspension?
No, both. He was hurt. What year did he get hurt? It was...
with Arizona?
Yeah, with Arizona. He got hurt in 2022.
What I'm saying is I'm looking for a veteran guy. Not a guy that I'm going to pay for 3 years. I'm looking for a guy, for 5 years.
How about Odell? You want Odell?
Hell no. He ain't got nothing left. That's why they signed Nelson Aguilar, and the Ravens would be out there trying to look for somebody too. Like, I don't want Gabe Davis maybe. Like, somebody's going to –
Davis, I'd like that. Giants should be in on Gabe Davis.
That's true. But Gabe Davis, Hollywood Brown too small, and he's inconsistent with his hands. But Tyler Boyd, he's not good enough. I think he's a good three, a good two and a half. But if I can go out there and get one of those guys, Calvin Ridley, I think is. You heard LaSauce said Calvin Ridley.
LaSauce, he's been, quite theatrical on social media.
Yeah, he's funny, but I'll take LaSauce. I'll take Calvin Ridley.
I was
because
really
Calvin Ridley's gonna be out there, man, because. Because they don't want to give their second round draft pick to the Atlanta Falcons.
I was really excited at the start of the regular season last year because Mike Evans had told the Buccaneers that, you know, their window to negotiate a contract was first week of the season. Right. That came and gone, and he did not sign. So I thought, listen, this could be intriguing. Mike Evans, oh, I thought at the deadline, you know, when we figured Rodgers was going to stay healthy, at the deadline the Jets might be able to trade for him.
Well, they tried it. Well, they tried to trade for Davante Adams. That didn't work out. Let's see if you can try and trade again. But Calvin Ridley would be, you know, everything they need as well. He's a dude. And then that'll allow Alan Lazard to be able to just be a guy that's at. He'll be the Nelson Aguilar of the Jets. Like, I wouldn't mind if they went out and got Calvin Ridley and Duvernay.
From the Ravens.
Yep.
Yeah.
They went out and got Duvernay, give somebody that they can do gadgets to, reverses, tough guy, guy that can return kicks.
I like that. Giants, Gabe Davis, I would love to see them go after him. They haven't had that number one receiver. And we heard yesterday.
I don't know if Gabe is big enough to be a number one.
I don't think he could be a number one receiver, but he would. Would he not be the best receiver they have currently?
Yeah, but that's not saying a lot. So I need a guy that's certified that I can count on to be my number one. So if I'm the Giants in a different situation because they don't have a Garrett Wilson. So I'm saying if that's the case, the Giants need to be in the market either for Mike Evans, T. Higgins,
you would imagine gets Pittman, franchised.
They need to be there. I'm just saying, we don't know. Pittman. Because, you know, they might say, you know, instead of franchise tagging them, then we'd rather get somebody else that's going to take something low.
I don't know. Because if you're Cincinnati, don't you want to have one more crack at it? Joe Burrow back healthy.
You do.
Just paid Chase, and now you get T. Higgins on a franchise tag, and you were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
The Giants might say, listen, I'm not getting involved in this. Like, the price is too high. I'm just going to go ahead and take Malik Nabers, who can be Gary Wilson, 1,000-yard receiver, day one. And say, hey, I'd much rather spend that money on a guard because the guard market is cheaper than what the receiver market is.
Spend a little bit less on whoever the next running back is if they're not interested in bringing Saquon back.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like, Gus Edwards isn't Saquon, but he's a big-time guy. Like, they can try DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift was a beast last year.
I don't know.
He was over 1,000 yards receiving.
No, I'm in the camp of re-signing Saquon Barkley.
I'm not doing that.
I would do it.
That he wants $15 million. You're not giving him $15 million.
Franchise him again.
That'd be disrespectful to him, man, because he's did everything right. He came back. He wasn't a distraction. He came on time.
Like if I'm going to give this,
if you're not going to sign him long term, man, don't play games.
If
with this
I'm
man
bringing
career,
Daniel Jones
don't,
back,
don't pay with this man's career and life like that, man. He's done everything that you're supposed to. It's a matter of respect, man. Basically, last year was a franchise tag, whether it was a 1 year deal or not. That's
some incentives. Yeah, it was some incentives.
So don't do that to me twice, man. Let me get my money, and if you can't give me my money, let me get my big time money by somebody else that values me more than you do. Like, don't do me like that, man. If you're not going to give me a long-term deal, don't, because you're making me risk maybe getting injured again, and then I'll never get my money, man, and then I'll hate this organization for the rest of my life.
No, I get that, and you as the player, it resounds.
Everybody else held out. Jonathan Taylor held out. Josh Jacobs held out. Like, come on, man. Like, don't do me like that.
800-919-3776. We go to Plainfield and talk to Dane. What's up, Dane?
Dane, what's going on, Ty? What's up, Bart? Big fans of both
Dane.
Of you guys. Peace, love, and respect to both of you guys.
Yes, sir.
I'm just calling because I'm driving in the car, and I heard you guys talking about the Giants wide receiver conundrum. Mm. And Ty said something that upset me. He said that he hopes that we get Gabe Davis. And I just think that I keep hearing that take from Giants fans. And Gabe Davis had a down season this year. He plays across from Stephon Diggs, who's double teamed all day.
Stephon also had a down. Diggs also had a down season. Their offense was right
there. Their offense had a down year. They ran the ball more, so they were stuck.
But we don't want to pay him, Bart. I don't want to pay him what Gabe is looking for. He's a number two. We keep doing that. That's that Kenny Galladay energy. I do not want him getting a big paycheck from the Giants.
You know
what the
difference is? We need
to draft wide receivers.
You know what the difference is?
Draft some wide receivers, because that's the only wide receivers we've ever had that are good.
But you know, both.
The difference is, if anybody knows what Gabe Davis is or not, it's Brian Daboll.
No, I agree. And I say that's what we're going to fall into, that trap. He loves his old girlfriends. It's all about his exes. Oh, I was successful in Buffalo with these players. Let me bring him to the Giants. We ain't the old Buffalo.
Man, he ain't brought
nobody. This is a brand new project.
Wait, but he ain't brought nobody over here from Buffalo.
I was
going
to say, who has he brought over from Buffalo that you're ready to just throw that on him?
Well, I say that because whenever the pundits are describing what we should do, they always refer to ex-players. I heard people talking about bringing Mitchell Trubisky to the Giants because once upon a time he was
in
Buffalo.
Did it happen? But did it happen? Did it happen?
Thank God.
He went. He went with old faithful Tyrod Taylor.
Ex Bill, but he wasn't there with
Davis. I'm going to lose my mind. Like we do not. We got holes on the line. Pay some linemen.
Dude, you can walk and chew gum at the same time.
They can do both.
You act like and
they
appreciate
have a top,
the call.
They got a top 10 pick.
They got the sixth pick in the draft. Some of you say, no, I'd rather draft the receiver. You can do both. You can pay a guy and draft him. You could also pay a guy a receiver and then, you know, sign guys in free agency to play offensive line. You can
do
both.
I heard his voice. He wants neighbors or what's his name? Awuzie?
No. Awuzie is the defensive player.
Okay, no, who's the kid coming from Washington?
Who are you talking about? Let me see.
From Washington, Awuzie, or something like that. I haven't done my draft prep yet as far as pronunciations of names.
What's the tackle? The Fashanu? Is that's the tackle?
Yeah, that's Fashanu. That's from Penn State. You got Alt.
Oh, Joe Alt is he looks like he's gonna be taken before. I think he's the Penn State tackle. Joe
no,
Alt.
No, that's Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Okay.
Are you talking about Rome Odunze?
Oh, Odunze.
Yeah, Odunze.
800-919-3776. Let's go to Raph in Long Island. What's up, Raph?
Hey, it's I. Bart, longtime Jets fan. Appreciate you.
What's up, man?
But I am tired of the disrespect on my boy Ty and LeBron.
There we go.
I'm sorry I don't want to divert you guys from
you personalized
football too much.
It, Rob. You said my boy. You personalized it.
He is. So he is my boy. Listen, me and Ty don't always get along with all our points. But I'm tired of you disrespecting LeBron on a separate note. Always referring to him as LeBron. And you do use. Exactly. You do you. I know how it is. But to tell him that he's delusional for thinking LeBron is number one when LeBron is number one.
LeBron ain't passed Kareem. LeBron hasn't even passed Kareem in my book.
How many records has he passed him on, though?
Does records matter? What if Lou Alcindor would have came straight from high school
but
and
he
had four more
we
years?
We can only we can look do at hypotheticals.
Look
we can
at his
just
longevity.
Hold on.
Kareem didn't have longevity?
He did. He
no,
played
he absolutely
two
did.
So
I'm talking about
so
LeBron,
you're talking about, you, no,
he only
you just,
had two major injuries.
I understand that. I don't remember Kareem ever missing because of injury. You just said he passed Kareem. It's a different time. LeBron has four more years in the league. Like, Lou Alcindor was that guy when he was winning championships four and wasn't even allowed to dunk. Like, you don't think he would have been putting up – you don't think his records would have been farther along for LeBron to
but
get?
Stop dealing with hypotheticals. Let's just deal with the evidence
that
we have.
That's not a hypothetical.
And
that's
Kareem
a real
does
thing.
Have the
that's
longevity. Kareem has the longevity, but he wasn't good
and
late
then
in
he
his
didn't
career.
Shoot, he didn't shoot three-pointers. And he had to have somebody give him the ball.
Yeah, that's fine, which is why LeBron's
he's
better.
Not
LeBron
bad.
Doesn't
he's
need
not,
that.
Not bad. He's not bad to and me. In my opinion, LeBrick isn't better than Kobe or Kareem.
We
I put him right there. I put him right there. He hasn't passed me. I put him right there with Magic.
Jay in Atlanta.
Numbers,
what's up,
no,
Jay?
It's not always about the numbers, bro.
No, it's not. It's about eye test.
Because numbers are subjective depending on the era that you play. No, all the rushing records, all the throwing records
no,
are going
numbers
to be shattered.
Numbers aren't subjective. Those are statistics. The way you interpret those numbers can be subjective. Jay in Atlanta. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, fellas? B-Skeezy, Ty. Hey, Ty, man, you my guy, dude. But you are bugging out, and I think you missed the boat on the whole Allen Iverson thing, man. You got to think about it.
Okay.
Look at how many free throws James Harden shoots a game. Look at how many free throws Trae Young shoots a game in this era. And Allen Iverson played in the era when they were allowed to hand check, and he averaged shooting 9 free throws a game. So to get 10 more points, I don't think would be that much because he can get at least 5 of them at the free throw line. If you talk about another layup or a three-pointer, I think it's totally doable for Allen Iverson.
Who do you think is the best scorer in the NBA right now?
The best scorer in the NBA right now? I probably have to go with either Joker or Embiid.
You think those are the – okay. So, and
Embiid averaging 35.
Who do you think? Let me ask the question.
Embiid averaging 35.
When I list these three guys in order of their proficiency when it comes to scoring all time: Allen Iverson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. Rank them in order of how good of scorers they are.
We talking about Joel Embiid at 35 this year.
Jay,
I'm gonna go
do that for me.
I'm gonna go Steph Curry, and then I'll probably. Then I'll probably go AI, and then I'll go KD.
All right, so if Steph Curry is a better scorer than Allen Iverson, why isn't Steph, in his prime right now, the best shooter ever, averaging 43 a game?
First of all, Steph ain't in his prime.
Because it's different eras, and Steph came up in this era, right? So he's playing in an era where, yeah, they're not as physical as they was. Allen Iverson played. Look at how many times Allen Iverson got knocked on the ground when he went to the hole. You think they're not blowing the whistle for that at least half of the time in this day and age?
You don't think they?
Oh, you
they
gotta
would,
be kidding me!
You don't think that they would be targeting Allen Iverson on the other end, putting him in every single pick and roll?
They were targeting him back then. What do you mean targeting? They don't even play defense now. They don't even play defense now.
Jay, you're not off base, man. It's just like if Randy Moss said, "Hey, man, I would average 1,800 yards receiving a year." You can probably say that because it's a different era where it's so much easier to catch the ball because all rules are for the offense.
But I'm not arguing that, and I appreciate the call, Jay.
Exactly. What was Sterling Sharp average right now and not having to go across the middle and worry about getting his head knocked loose?
Yeah, I just told him to go look at Keyshawn with his ass up, tooting.
I'm not even disagreeing with the premise that scoring is up for many reasons. I think the talent pool is deeper, but it also has to do with rules that the NBA has put in place to help increase scoring. So I'm not arguing that it's easier to score now. I'm just saying, man, 10 more points a game, that's a lot of points, bro.
Every other week we got somebody scoring 60 and 70.
Not every other week, but this.
I mean, how many guys have scored over 50 this year?
This year it's happened like 9 times this year.
All right, sometimes on the same
Jaylen
day.
Jalen Brunson did. Yeah,
Anthony Towns. Like, come on, man.
And a loss.
They not scores. And he had it in the third
How
quarter.
How about that? You had 2 60-point guys do it in losses. I think that's embarrassing.
Booker, you know what I'm
Booker
saying?
Booker and Towns did it
well,
in losses.
Well, that's because Towns, they were playing around. So you don't think, like.
Luka's got the highest. Luka scored, what was it, 67?
Yeah.
Yeah, Luka had 67, I believe it was, right? It was 67, I think.
I think
Luka
it might have been 7.
Did you dump yourself, Jake?
Did I dump myself? Or are you talking about Jacob?
Yeah, Jake, did you dump yourself?
Wait, what did I dump myself for?
Nothing.
What was Luka's point? What was it, 67? Yeah, it was 67, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Joel did it a couple times. They were doing it on the same day, man. Like, so listen, I think Allen.
No, it was 73. I shorted him by 6 points. It was 73.
You see what I'm saying?
800-919-3776. Take a quick break. Right back to your phone calls. Barton High, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This sounds like some backtracking music, right?
Nah, this is the greatest country artist of all time.
Randy Travis is rolling over his grave. He ain't even dead.
It's that Beyonce.
This beat ain't even stop. Just because you put a banjo when they don't make it country.
This is that Beyonce, that Texas Hold'em.
Man, that's just, come on, man, stop it. It's disrespectful to
to who?
Huh?
To who?
Disrespectful to Darius Rucker.
Nah, Beyonce got that genre on smash. New album coming soon. Looking forward to that. Before we get back to the phone calls, 800-919-3776, Hal Steinbrenner spoke to the media yesterday, and he said something that I found really, really interesting. Everyone was embarrassed last year.
I was embarrassed. We were all embarrassed. I mean, I don't think there's one person in this organization that wasn't embarrassed. I have no doubt for them that it was a big motivation. You know, like I said, they believe they have something to prove after that disaster last year. And they're going to be, I mean, look at some of the guys. I mean, they're already in great shape, a lot of them, because their spring training started, you know, 6 weeks ago in earnest. Almost every day they were there. So we take it seriously. Last year was an embarrassment. We're all embarrassed.
Yeah, they're already in great shape. So we got to now compliment players for coming into spring training in great shape.
How do we know they're in great shape? Like,
well, because he says
they don't do nothing in baseball. Like, they don't have these dudes got tee times. The easiest camp in the world.
We got baseball players listening to the show, man. We don't want to alienate the audience.
No, what I'm saying is
Judge might be listening down in Tampa.
What I'm saying is, like, greatest shape of all time. Like, come on, man.
So here's what I don't understand. So he says we were all embarrassed last year. They were so embarrassed that they decided to bring everyone back who was responsible for that embarrassment. The owner's not going to fire himself, so who gets to bear the responsibility for what happened last year? The general manager. Well, you were so embarrassed, you decided to bring that general manager back. Okay, so he gets to stay. The manager, you were so embarrassed, you decided to bring him back. So how embarrassed were you? How embarrassed were you that you're returning everyone back to their proper positions? You lost your bench coach to the Mets. But how embarrassed were you? And he says, hey, this is a big season for us. Does any Yankee fan out there actually believe, let's just say a repeat of last year happens. Maybe Boone loses his job. But Cashman picked Boone. So you're going to allow the guy to pick the manager who you just fired to pick the next manager? So when he says that, it just rings hollow to me.
Yeah, man, like, camp is always, we call it like a disinformation type of campaign, man. It's like, I don't believe in none of that stuff to be talking about, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where they're going to say what they're supposed to say. The proof's in the pudding. We have to see it. The problem, like I said, with the Yankees is they're pretty much like the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody believes what they do in a regular season. Their season doesn't start until the postseason. Yep. And see what they can do. So it's got to be so unpleasurable to be a Yankee, because nothing you can do is good enough because the standard is so high. And that's what you have to understand when you come here. That's just what it is, man. That's what you sign up for.
Yeah, because of the excellence that we saw on display for the entirety of this franchise's history. And now you're 15 years removed from appearing in a World Series, which is just, I mean, unfathomable that there are Yankee fans out there who don't, young Yankee fans who don't even remember the last time they won a championship. Like, they don't have vivid memories of it.
Because if you're 10 or something like that, like, you don't remember, like, you know, what the team was doing.
Or if you're 21, right? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
If you were born in 2003, like, do you have vivid memories of 2009? I don't believe so. Like, you know everything that happened that season, that playoff run, all the walk-offs.
If you were born in 2000, you have no clue.
None, really. No real memories, no concrete memories. So there is a generation of Yankee fans who all they can do is go on YouTube and watch DVDs of this team being championship or bust and, you know, winning at the highest level.
It's a generation of fans that believe that the Astros are the dynasty of this era.
The Astros, the Red Sox have won three since you last won one. Like, this is Or is it three? It's two. The Red Sox have won two since you last won one. It was 2013 and 2018. But yeah, I mean, like you said, that the Astros, the Red Sox, even the Dodgers win. Heck, the Braves have won one. The Kansas City Royals, the Mets have been to a World Series. The Giants have won three. So you go through all these different teams that have won since you last been there, and you say you're embarrassed. I mean, yeah, we love the Soto addition, Verdugo, Stroman, but like you said, the proof is going to be in the pudding. It's going to be a big year. Who do you think has more pressure entering the season, the Jets or the Yankees?
The Yankees, because people expect the Jets to lose. You're talking about the win in this organization and all of sports. So they go out and they get a young gun, and you know, they get arguably the best, most talented player in baseball. And I think people still think that him being a long-term Yankee is still up in the air.
Well, Soto, yeah, well, because he's going to test free agency next year.
My point.
And that window might close.
You know, he might, you know, want to stay if he wins something.
But the Jets, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on the Jets, too, after what we saw last year. You bring Aaron Rodgers.
It's a lot of pressure on the regime. No, that's the same thing.
It's the same exact thing.
You're right.
Now knowing that, you still contend it's the Yankees who have more pressure entering their respective seasons?
Yeah, because I think Cashman gets fired or something, moves on and gets reassigned.
That man has a job for life. There's not a single person listening to this radio station who believes he's going anywhere.
Okay, I'm sorry. Boone gets fired. Is that better?
Yeah. Okay. He'll definitely get fired.
Both head coaches, because I think, you know, people think that, you know, he's come up small. Like, and you know, they got the geek squad, and you know, so.
But think about it. If the let's just say the Yankees miss the playoffs, you know Boone is gone.
Yeah,
if the Jets miss the playoffs, the GM's gone, the head coach is gone. But people will be talking about getting the quarterback out of here.
But let me tell you this. If the Jets make the playoffs, they might be safe. If the Yankees get taken out in the first round, everybody's still going.
Fair. Very fair.
800-919-3776.
Let's go to Don in Long Beach. What's up, Don?
Okay, how you doing today?
I'm doing well.
How you guys?
What's up, man?
All right.
Bring it. We need a little bit more energy. Bring a little bit more energy, bro.
I just had a question, and I asked your producer, I guess, that you answered the phone, or maybe. Your age, 30?
Be 31 on Tuesday.
Okay, so how Don, you got Chester older than him, right?
How old are you, Don? Since we're exchanging ages.
66.
Nice. Love it, man. God bless you, brother.
Yep. I'm just curious, how many games did you watch Michael Jordan play, either on TV or in person live?
So I guess what you're inferring is that I can't have an opinion on him because I was too young to remember watching him. Like I can't go back and educate myself on that. I can't go back and educate myself. I have a question for you, Don.
You can watch all the TV.
Okay, so I got a question for you real quick. Are you a baseball fan at all?
Absolutely.
So what's your favorite team?
New York Yankees.
Okay, so give me your three greatest Yankees of all time.
Mickey Mantle.
So you watched him live?
I saw my dad took me to see Mickey Mantle, yes.
You watched Mickey Mantle live?
I was 4 years old.
And you vividly remember watching Mickey Mantle at 4 years old. Goodbye,
got,
Don. Goodbye.
Don.
Goodbye, God. Goodbye, Don. Idiot.
They got you, Don.
The greatest Yankee. So his whole premise.
You saw him at four,
Can't talk about like Jordan. You didn't see him. Who's the greatest Yankee yet? I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Mickey Mantle. Oh, yeah. Didn't watch him. Loser. Keith in Brooklyn. What's up, Keith?
I like the little feistiness in there, you little 30-year-old nugget.
Sometimes you got to put him in checkmate. What's up, Keith?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Love the show.
Appreciate you, man. What's going on?
All right. So, Bart, I love you, but DNR is going to hate me for this. Ty is kind of right on the Draymond Dennis Rodman.
Wait, why would DNR hate you?
Because I'm agreeing with you, Ty.
Oh, wait, DNR doesn't like when I get agreed
with? Damn, they don't like you? What's up
with that? You put me onto something I'm not aware of?
Oh, man.
Hey, I think it's because you're black, Ty. But you know,
well, no reason.
And Rick aren't going to agree with you every day, especially not on this.
Nah, yeah. They tend to be on the wrong side of things a lot when it comes to...
But where's Draymond? Where's Draymond a better player? He's a better facilitator, I would say that. Is he a better defensive player?
I'm not saying Draymond as a player is better than Rodman. But to his dynasty, Draymond brought the ball up court. He facilitated the offense. He guarded the best player on the other team. Mm-hmm. And he rebounded. Dennis Rodman, greatest rebounder ever. But that's what Chicago got him for because Horace wasn't there for the second three-peat.
What about the defense on like guys like Patrick Ewing and stuff like that? Shaq and all that stuff. They're pretty Dennis much identical Rodman's and Dennis best, Dennis Rodman is
Dennis
a better
Rodman's
defender.
Dennis Rodman's best defense was getting in the opposing player's head. Smacking Karl Malone on the behind, tugging Ewing's shorts.
He was one of the most athletic. He's way more athletic than Draymond Green. He also, when he was with the Pistons, he also checked Jordan.
Rodman was that dude.
When he got to the league,
he found his niche. He found the niche that gave him longevity. He focused on rebounding and defense. He put up 25.7 in college.
But Keith, what if I would tell you that Draymond only has 100 more points than Dennis Rodman, too?
I know. I listen to you every day. I heard you yesterday. I understand that. But I'm not talking about scoring. Rodman was a better scorer all day than Draymond, but he didn't focus on scoring when he got to the league. He put up 25.7 points a game in college. Mm-hmm. Rodman could score if he wanted to. That's not what Detroit wanted him to do.
But I get that, but I just don't understand where you say he was just as important when Dennis was.
I said they are both important to their dynasties. Mm-hmm. You're saying that Rodman is just straight better than Draymond, but it's not. It's a different era, and they play different roles for their team.
I understand, but we're talking about value to the dynasty, and I think Rodman was more important or just important. I think that Golden State still wins the championships with Kevin Durant, even if they had Draymond or not.
I disagree with that.
I mean, I don't think the Bulls. That's why the Bulls went out and got Dennis Rodman because Horace was gone, and they needed somebody to play that type of role. So he was important to that second three-peat too. Dennis is responsible for two dynasties, not one.
You're calling the Pistons winning back-to-back dynasty?
Yeah, back-to-back I call dynasties. So three is a dynasty, two is a mini-dynasty?
Yeah, I don't know if I can give back-to-back a dynasty.
It was back-to-back, but it also was Eastern Conference Finals, right? Remember they had the Phantom Call the year before when they lost in the finals to the Lakers, remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was a Phantom Call. The Bill Laimbeer foul on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or they would have won three in a row.
I mean, but they didn't. You love dealing with hypotheticals.
What I'm saying is going to the championship and then winning back to back, that's a dynasty to me, in my opinion. Because guess what? The year before that, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Lakers when they threw the pass in. So that's four years of high end. That's two championships.
I guess you can also bring up. I mean, I'm helping you. Zeke's bum ankle. He scored 25 points in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was a dynasty, man. That was a dynasty during the era where a decade was dominated by the Lakers and the Boston Celtics. People don't talk about that. You know, I mean, I think you can kind of throw the Rockets in there too. They had their little pocket of time where like they were really
you're talking
good.
About Akeem's Rockets when they went, and so you think back-to-back championships is a dynasty?
Back-to-back has only been done so many times in certain sports.
But is that a dynasty, back-to-back championships?
I think back-to-back championships with like high-end records like either before or after are, right? So, like, if you win two championships back-to-back, but then you were in the conference finals or the championship.
What if I go to four straight NBA finals and win two championships? Is that a dynasty?
I mean, I guess I have to qualify that as a period in time in which you dominated the league and you were – And listen, LeBron's Miami team, there was a dynasty in my opinion because they lost to Dirk the first year, but then they won back to back. That's a dynasty to me.
And how about if he goes to eight straight? But is he his own dynasty if he goes to eight straight?
Yeah, but you know that's kind of like asking yourself, and it's this where it gets nuanced. It's like asking yourself, you know, the Bills four in a row, is that a dynasty?
But no, but they didn't win any of those championships. Eight years, three championships. Is that a self-contained dynasty?
Not to me, because you lost eight. I mean, you lost five.
All right, we got to hit a break. Barton Hahn,
you lost
final
five.
Segment
like,
coming
you,
up.
You can't hate on the Bills if they lost and then not hate on LeBron if he lost more than he won.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Just got paid Friday night. Party jumping. Feel all right. Booty shaking. Dance to the beat.
That's what Keyshawn was saying when he was laying on the ground with his bloody nose.
Uh-huh. Somebody should went over there and put the finger. No, never mind.
800-919-3776. Let's wrap with your calls. Jose in the Bronx. Be quick, but don't hurry. What's up, Jose?
Oh, my God. What's up, brothers?
You got it.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
We got you, baby. We give
okay,
you the flow.
Okay, real quick, man. You got that olive oil voice. Real quick, man.
I don't even know what that means.
That mean you sound smooth and soft.
Oh, okay, cool. I love
like
it.
Like you mixed with Norwegian.
Voice, you know, like in The Godfather. You know what I'm saying?
Where? I got you. Good looking.
All right. Listen, real quick. I know you guys are pressed for time. I had trials with the Mets, Baltimore, Minnesota. Broke my arm and collar at Fordham University. My father played with a Jose Cruz. We're a baseball family. But we got to get into this LeBron thing with Jordan, man. I mean, how many games did Jordan miss his whole career?
Well, neither one of them missed a lot.
Well, Jordan had the year where he broke his foot.
It was 12 games, okay? Now, let's talk about the steals. Top five in steals. Jordan is fourth, right? Fifth?
Sure.
Yes, okay. Statistics is going to be tough because LeBron played longer.
Let's get to LeBron, you know, because, listen, there's Jordan, Kobe, and that's everybody else.
In your exercise of stats, you gave me steals. You didn't give me points, because that would go against your argument. LeBron's better at points. You didn't give me rebounds, because that would go against your argument, because LeBron's better at that. You didn't give me assists. Go against your point, because LeBron's better at that.
What about all defensive teams?
You didn't give me any of that. But he gave me steals? Like, that's where we start and end with our statistical exercise, steals.
That's because you told him to be in a hurry but not move fast.
Yeah, but then he started off with, like, 90 seconds. He was a pause. He's, like, saying his name. Can you hear me? What was his name?
Come on, Olive Oil.
Someone in the – Jose in the Bronx. Jose.
Olive.
All love to you, bro. I'm actually be on again tomorrow, 6 to 8, before the Knick game, so give me a call.
Come on, Olive. Yeah, give Olive a call, man.
Olive Oil. I appreciate the love, man. Bart, this was fun, man. Had a good time with you.
Yeah, man, but 2 days is enough.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm just playing. No, you my dog. You my dog. I'm just playing with you.
Yeah, we
got to
do it.
Listen, man, make sure you got a spotter when you go to Retro Fitness at 5:30 in the morning, man. Your muscles might not be already woke up before you try to get that personal best.
I'm going to see you on Thursday, my G. We're going to be at that Knick game heavy. Then maybe the next day we go to Retro together.
Listen, we gonna know what type of day Jake is by the hairstyle.
K-Show coming up next.
Are you trying to be like OG Bobby Johnson, or are you trying to be like Genuine?
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.